Over there in the check-in room, a brother came up to me. He was beaming. He said, "My, I'm glad to be here, aren't you?" "Well," I said, "when you get my age, brother, you're glad to be anywhere." Dick said you had to wear your gym shoes. "Well, I don't have any gym shoes, but I wear my golf shoes. I have a hole in one." Not doing so well, am I? I keep trying till I get it right. Okay. A lady did come to me over there, and she said, "Do you remember me?" And I had to tell the truth. I said, "No, ma'am, I don't." But I said, "Don't be alarmed, because I only remember ugly faces." Well, she felt pretty good. But then, at the supper table tonight, one of the girls from Greensboro introduced me to a lady at the table, and I was sure I'd met her before. Dummy, I said to her, "Haven't I known you before? I only remember ugly faces." I blew that one. And she said, "No, we have never met." Oh, well. Open your Bible, please, to the Epistle to the Hebrews. Find chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Frankly, I have been not troubled, but concerned about the opening message for the conference. My first thoughts were on the subject of freedom. And that just didn't seem to come. And then the Lord laid on my heart what might be a keynote message for a Bible conference, any Bible conference. And we're going to have as our text tonight, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Now, itinerant Bible teachers, hopefully, are careful not to repeat a series of messages in the same place. I don't ever recall having done that. I repeat, but not in the same place. But I remember bringing this study in one of the assemblies. So if you are here tonight and you heard it before, the Lord knows you need it again. All right. Now, before we turn to the word of the Lord, let us look to the Lord of the word. Let us pray. Our loving Father, we thank Thee for access into Thy holy presence. When the veil in the temple was rent in two from top to bottom, we have access in the place of exclusion. Once we were banished from the Holy of Holies, now we come boldly to Thy throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Father, we believe that this is a time of need for people in this audience. The needs are varied, and yet Thou knowest each one. And Father, You promised to supply all our need. So we're looking to Thee tonight to move among us. We thank Thee for the Holy Scriptures, for the Holy Spirit, its author, for His presence in us and among us tonight. May He move among us ungrieved, unhindered, and unquenched, to bring to bear upon the conscience of each one of us some nugget of divine truth from Thy great storehouse of wealth that will add to our spiritual stature. We pray that we shall not only be challenged, but we shall be changed and leave this meeting better people for having come. And Father, if one person is here tonight who has never had a genuine salvation, born-again experience, may that one trust the Savior this night. For we pray in his worthy name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, one of the old memory verses back in the days when people memorized the Bible. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, the Bible is made up of books. The books have been divided into chapters and the chapters into verses. And the verses are made up of words. And words are very important. In 2 Timothy 3:16 we read, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every writing, every written word in the original manuscripts were given by God. So I read Hebrews 4:12 like this, for the words of God are quick, living, life-producing, life-preserving, powerful, energizing, the words of God. Has it ever occurred to you that when God speaks, something happens? Has to. Because his words are living, energizing. When God speaks, something happens. Let's turn to page 1 in our Bible and listen as God speaks. His first recorded words are found in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, now you better listen up, because God's going to say something. And if what he says does not come to pass, we just better forget about the conference, dismiss the meeting, lock up the building, throw the key away and forget it. You can trust the words of God. When God speaks, something happens. Now you will notice here what God said. The first recorded words from God, verse 3, and God said, now listen up because he's going to say something. Let there be light. Think for a moment, possibly you and I were there in the time of creation, and we heard God say, let there be light. What would you expect to happen? Would you really expect instantaneous light? If you knew the God of creation, you would expect exactly what he said, because his words are living, powerful, life-producing, life-preserving. Now you can go through chapter 1 10 times in this chapter. You will read 10 things that God said. And every time God spoke, they came to pass. Just to quickly glance at 1 or 2, verse 6, and God said, read verses 6 and 7, and how... what are the last four words in verse 7? And it was so. Of course it was so. It would have to be so because God said so. It's as simple as that. I tell you, beloved, when we come to realize that when God speaks, something happens, it gives to us a new appreciation of our Bible. And it gives us the urge to pass it on to others. For when he speaks, even to spiritually dead people, they come alive. When God speaks, something happens. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. What would you expect? And it was so. Of course it was so, because God said so. Now you say, well, that's page 1 on the Bible there. Maybe that's not to be taken literally. Well, turn with me, please, to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Let the psalmist add his word, corroborate what Moses wrote in Genesis. Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Verse 9. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded. And it stood fast. Had to. Because when God speaks, something happens. What do we have here? We have a natural creation. This physical universe. Oh, the scientists are still guessing and jabbering and coming up with new ideas. I heard a thing on television not too long ago, sponsored by National Geographic, and they were telling how that they made a discovery that dates back 85 million years ago. I'd like to meet that bird and say, how can you prove that? Well, where'd you get that information? I don't know when God created the heavens and the earth, but he didn't do it by an evolutionary process. He spake, and it was done. And we know by faith that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Isn't that simple? You can teach that to children, to young people. There isn't any room in the Bible for the evolutionary theory. You couldn't prove the evolutionary theory, and if you had a million years to try, you couldn't do it. Some of your ancestors might have hung by their necks, but none ever hung by their tails, that's for sure. See, we've been teaching our children and young people for years that they came from monkeys, animals. Now we wonder why they behave like animals. What do we expect? I have no problem going into a college, a seminary, or university, and I have opportunities to do that, to open my Bible. Thus saith the Lord. They can laugh it to scorn if they want, but one of these days, the Word, the powerful Word of God, is going to grip the heart of some of them. A natural creation. Now let us turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 12. I'm breaking in a new Bible, so if I'm slow turning the pages, you will understand. Some of them are stuck together. It's terribly embarrassing when you bring your old Bible and the speaker announces a section of the Bible and you try to find it and the pages are still stuck together. That's a little embarrassing, isn't it? Well, I'm having a problem, but it won't be long, hopefully, until we get these pages unstuck. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said, now I don't know how God spoke to Abram. God has always had a way of revealing himself before ever we have the written word. Sometimes God revealed himself in a dream, a vision in one's sleeping moments, or revelation in one's sleeping moment. Sometimes God revealed himself in a vision in one's waking moments. Sometimes God would send an angel to reveal and give a message to someone. Back in the beginning, even creation itself spoke for God. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Creation, a revelation from God. And one day God said to Abram, now listen up, because God's going to say something. And if it doesn't come to pass, we're worshiping the wrong God. But it will come to pass because the words of God are quick, powerful, living, energizing. And when God speaks, something happens. Well, God said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that... Now, there are a series of I wills here. Underline them in your Bible, the two words I will. Unto a land that I will show thee. Verse 2, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Significant I wills. God spoke. That must have boggled the mind of Abram the moment he heard God speak. I'll tell you why. If you back up to verse 30 of chapter 11, Sarai was barren. She had no child. She couldn't become a mother. She was barren. There was no fertility in the womb of Sarah, only sterility. She was barren. She couldn't become pregnant. But God spoke. He said, I will make of thee a great nation. Now, time went on, and nothing happened. Why? Sarah was barren. But God spoke. And when you come to chapter 16 of Genesis, Sarai is getting a little antsy, getting a little itchy now. God hasn't come through. Did you ever feel that God was dragging his feet? You read a promise in the Bible and somehow it doesn't seem to be fulfilled when you think it ought to be or when I think it ought to be. And we think, why doesn't God get with it? Dragging his feet. He's given this promise. God's never late. God's never early. God's always on time. Always on time. Well, verse 2. Well, let's begin with verse 1. Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. There it is again. But God spoke. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar, and Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Now, some men can grab a hold of that and say, don't pay too much attention to your wife. Now, don't do that, men. I had some growing up problems. I was married young. By the way, if Elsie would have lived until June, we would have celebrated our 61st wedding anniversary. Oh, just last week in Maine, a man came to me. He said, Brother Strauss, he said, I heard you lost your wife. I'm sorry, I didn't know it. I would have contacted you. I said, I didn't lose her. Oh, he said, I thought she died. I said, she did die, but I didn't lose her. He said, well, you know where something is, it's not lost. I didn't lose her. I know where she is. I know where she is. God gives truth, and that truth can satisfy the longing, loneliest heart in all the world. Well, men, don't jump on your wife now. Say, we don't pay too much attention to our wife. You better watch out. In my early marriage, I was a bit critical of my wife from time to time. I just thought she didn't use good judgment. And one day, it dawned on me. It's like a house fell on me. You dummy. You're criticizing her judgment, and she picked you for a husband. From that moment on, I said, hey, I married a pretty smart cookie. Oh, my. Now, Sarah said to Abe, she said, now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Ishmael was born, the first Hebrew, bringing forth a son who was an Egyptian. And that was the start of a conflict that has been waged for centuries. It's now being debated. In Washington it was debated. They're debating it all over the world. The Israeli-Arab conflict. But ladies and gentlemen, they will never settle this issue till King Jesus comes back. You'll see why in just a moment. The boy was born. Now the Arabs say, that land belongs to us. Abraham is our father. Ishmael is his son. That's our land. Now they don't read far enough in the Bible. Now turn to chapter 17. And there's quite a revelation here. God didn't say anything about Sarah being the mother. Till you come to chapter 17, verse 15. God said unto Abraham, listen up now, God's going to say something. God's going to say something. What's he going to say? He said, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. A man, almost 100, and a woman, almost 90. That'd be a miracle, wouldn't it? And it happened. Not only did it happened at precisely the time that God said it would happen. Look at verse 21 of chapter 17. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac. God not only said she's going to have a child, God named the sex of the child and the name of the child. My covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time next year. God said, I'll tell you exactly when the baby's going to be born. It's going to be a boy, and you're going to name him Isaac. And it happened. Do you know why? When God speaks, something happens. That makes me want to trust God and everything he put within the confines of this book. These are the words of God. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 4, please. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Acts, Romans. Getting unstuck gradually here. I just keep plugging away at it until we get it all done. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Let's begin with verse 17. Parenthetical statement. As it is written. Whenever I read that in my Bible, I have to stop and turn to where it's written. I want to see. As it is written, Genesis 17, verse 5. Now watch this. It's in the past tense. I have made thee a father of many nations. You see, dear ones, when God says something, it's as good as done. So he can speak in the past tense. I've already done it. I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Look at verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Now watch the next statement. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. The deadness of Sarah's womb. That's plain, isn't it? She couldn't have any children. What she had was 90 years of age. God spoke. When God speaks, something happens. Don't ever doubt anything in your Bible. I've had lots of growing up problems as a Christian, and I'm not proud of some of my errors and my mistakes. But God hears me tell you tonight, in all of my 65 years as a Christian, I don't ever once remember doubting the Word of God. I couldn't understand it all. And I can't explain it all. And I can't answer questions to satisfy all. But I don't doubt one thing in this book. When God speaks, I want to trust Him. His words are living, powerful, energizing words. So what do you have now? Secondly, you have a national creation. First, by the words of God, a natural creation. By the words of God, a national creation. Now, whatever God creates, God controls. Whatever God creates, God controls. Now, you and I know that the Persian Gulf War was aimed at Israel. But Saddam Hussein didn't have enough scuds to blow little Israel off the map. That's right. Did you know that every time a scud was released from Iraq and aimed at the little land of Israel. In the state of Colorado, there was a building built by American scientists. And men were sitting at the controls in the computers. And the moment the button was pushed in Iraq to release that Scud, immediately our men in Colorado pushed a button and the interceptor went up and caught the Scud before it hit. God's behind the scenes, controlling the scenes. He is behind. Look at Jeremiah chapter 31, please. Jeremiah chapter 31. And let us look at verse 35. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. God's going to say something. If those ordinances, sun, moon, and stars, depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Mr. Hussein has to destroy the sun, moon, and stars before he can destroy little Israel. He couldn't produce enough scuds to do the job because God already spoke. And when God speaks, something happens. So you have not only the birth of the nation, but you have the security of the nation. For Paul said in Romans 11, yet all Israel, not every individual Jew, it's a national thing, all Israel shall be saved. Why? God spoke. So you have a natural creation. You have a national creation. Let's turn to the New Testament to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The familiar 17th verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Now we have an actual creation by the words of God. We have a national creation which God spoke into being. Now Paul speaks about a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. When we come into this world, we come into this world spiritually dead, alienated, cut off from the life of God. God said to Adam in Genesis 2:17, of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the moment Adam sinned, he died instantly spiritually. He cut himself off from the life of God. He was spiritually dead. And at the same time, the cells in his body began to die, and he was moving slowly but steadily toward the grave. And that's the way you and I came into this world. Spiritually dead. If Adam and Eve would have had any babies before the fall, they would have been holy, sinless. But they didn't have any children. They were born after the fall. And God has a law that can never be altered. 9 times in Genesis chapter 1, everything reproduces after its kind. Incidentally, apes still reproduce apes. That's right. Apes still reproduce apes. One of the scientists recently, when they thought they had the new Big Bang, he said, well, there's a link missing, and they're going to find that link. And I said to myself, buddy, there's no link missing. There's a screw loose. I mean, get with it. Just get with it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You and I come into this world spiritually dead. Cut off from the life of God. Because we are in Adam. 1 Corinthians 15, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But how is a spiritually dead sinner transitioned from being spiritually dead in Adam to becoming spiritually alive in Christ? John 5:24. This is so simple. The Lord Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my what? Word, and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." How can a spiritually dead sinner be repositioned with spiritual life in Christ? The Word. He that heareth my word. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Power of the words of God. You have a new creation. The believing sinner hears the word, and the author of the word, the Holy Spirit, brings to the heart of that sinner his need for everlasting life by the power of the word and its author. That sinner is made a new creature in Christ, a new creation by the power of the words of God. That ought to jar every young preacher to dedicate himself to the study and the teaching and preaching of the word of God. He knows that the word of God cannot return unto God fruitless. When God speaks, something happens. Turn to the gospel according to Luke, please. Luke, I know you're all tired, and you had a big meal, but you're doing well. I only caught 3 nappings so far. Really, the rest of you doing pretty well. Only 3, maybe more. I only saw 3. Luke 7. Verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gates of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, "Weep not." And he came and touched the bier, or the coffin, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, now listen up, he's going to say something, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." Suppose you and I were there in that funeral procession, what would we expect to happen? Do we really trust his word? What would we expect to happen? And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. Of course, it had to be that way. You know why? Jesus said so. You can trust his words, dear friend. You can trust his words. In the next chapter, Gospel according to Luke? Is this the next chapter? No. Yeah, it is the next chapter. That's a biggie, that 8th chapter. Turn to chapter 8 and look at verse 49, please. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." Now, we won't read all of these verses, but we'll come down to our Lord coming to the house. And there were scorners there, laughing, raise the dead. And they laughed him to scorn, verse 53. And he said, "Now y'all get out. Y'all scram, beat it." And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called and said 2 words in your English Bible: "Maid, arise." If you and I were there, would we really expect her to arise? Not only did she had to. There's no resisting the power of his words. The words of God, living, operative, energizing, life-producing, life-preserving. When God speaks, something happens. There are only three instances in the New Testament, to the best of my knowledge, where the Lord raised an individual from the dead. The third one is the very familiar 11th chapter of the Gospel according to John. Mary and Martha had a brother by the name of Lazarus, and Lazarus died. And he came to the house where they lived. And we won't deal with the entire story. Mary was greatly troubled and sort of rebuked him, said, Lord, if he'd gotten here early, things would have been different. And he said, now just be patient. I'll get over with this in just a minute or two. And he said, now y'all keep quiet. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. I wonder what they thought when he said that. What would you and I have expected if we had been there? I hope, beloved, we would believe that what he said would come to pass before it came to pass. We can trust the word of God. And Lazarus came forth. Someone said if our Lord hadn't named him Lazarus, all the dead would have come forth. I don't know whether that's so. That's some preacher's idea. Could have been. But Lazarus came forth. When God speaks, something happens. Now, God will be speaking all this week. And I'm going to have to listen. If I don't listen, I don't learn. And the preacher or the Bible teacher who hears no one but himself doesn't learn very much. And I'm eager to share in the ministry this week. I want to be a good listener and a good learner. You know why? We are responsible to God for what we hear this week. Brother Taylor has a great responsibility when he comes to us. You can believe me when I tell you I have a great responsibility. And whether you believe this or not, God knows how true it is. I come up to this platform, I'm churning inside. I have butterflies until it's all over. For the one reason that I have a solemn responsibility this week. Beloved, I am not responsible for your response. You are. And when I hear the word, I am responsible for my response. I believe God's going to say a lot of things to us this week. I hope your heart is hungering to hear him, to heed him, and then to hide his word in your heart and my heart. Why? So that we might handle that word with care. And hurled that word with courage. Why? Because we have had pressed and impressed upon us the glorious truth that the words of God are living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Let us pray. Our loving Father, we commit ourselves afresh to Thee. With a fresh act of dedication and commitment. Help us to see, Lord, that we are highly privileged to have Thy Holy Word in our hands. We thank Thee for the invention of the printing press, which helped to make it possible. But, Lord, we realize it's not sufficient in our hands. We need it in our head, and we need it in our hearts. And we need it in our habits. May this be a very fruitful work for each one of us. As the word goes, may it come to us in the fullness and freshness of the Holy Spirit's blessing and power. Be with our dear brother Taylor as he comes. We thank thee for this dear servant of thine, for his ability to expound thy word. Bring him safely to us, and may his ministry come to us in that same freshness of the Holy Spirit. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.